Well, good morning again on this beautiful day, and y'all know that sometimes we pastors, we write sermon titles for our sermons. Nobody actually cares about it. It's just arrogant. But the title for today, I fell in love with it. It's just simply called Faith Like a Mother. All right? And that's what I think we are going to try to have. And that's what I think we find in our scriptures that we're going to look at this morning in John chapter 15. And I'm going to share them with you off the bat today. John chapter 15, verses 14 through 17. And then we're going to share about each of them as we walk through a little bit together. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends. Because everything I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit, and so that your fruit could last. As a result, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning, as we get started, we're walking through this series called Fruit of a Living Faith. And we've been walking kind of verse by verse through John chapter 15, where Jesus talks about the pruning, but Jesus talks about abiding in God. Jesus talks about how he is the vine, but we are the branches, but we are still supposed to produce fruit, but we do so by clinging to the vine, by clinging to Jesus. And so this morning, as we walk into these verses in 14 through 17, and we also celebrate this beautiful day in the church that we call Mother's Day, right? I think it was the 11th commandment, thou shalt celebrate Mother's Day. You know? Like, you just don't get to skip this one. Father's Day, right? The joke is always like, you know, we thought about you, but we didn't really get you anything, right? Mother's Day, can't miss it, can't mess it up, or you just do it again, okay? So today we're in, and we're diving into these verses, and as God would have it, they seem to apply completely. I shared with you last week that this idea that greater love hath no one than who lays down their life for their friends. That's one of my favorite Mother's Day scriptures because it brings out the idea of how we give our lives in all kinds of ways. We think about the heroic and courageous ways when we think about someone giving their life for someone else in a way that they lose their own life. But we think about our mothers. We think about the women of faith who surround us. We think about the people who have made a difference in our lives, and they may not have lost their life in giving it, but in giving it, they gave us their lives, their hopes, their dreams, their energy, their blood, their sweat, their tears, their sleepless nights, right? They gave us life. They gave us love. They gave us each other. And we can see the image of God completely wrapped up and intertwined and motivating all of that in a way that we know that's the way the world is supposed to be. In a way that we know that that's who we are supposed to be. No matter whether we can have children or not, whatever it is, no matter whether we are guys or we are girls or whatever it is, we are called to be that kind of godly presence in the lives of the people around us. The lives of the people who count on us, who we have responsibility for, and the lives of the people that we don't really have like legal responsibility for, right? I was talking to my kids this week and also to somebody else, and this is a Stephen Thinks, this is a theory of mine, but you know, as a child, we spend a lot of time trying to get children to learn how to take care of themselves. Do you remember that? Every once in a while, we jerk the rug out from under them because we like them being little and we just want to snuggle them, but ultimately, we want them to grow up. I can't remember how many times I've said, it's time to grow up, right? It's a weekly occurrence. It is time to grow up. We don't cry about that anymore. Whatever it is, we got to figure it out. You got to do it on your own. Independence is big at our house. When they are small, we're like, this is cereal. This is milk. This is your new morning, right? I will put it on the bottom shelf. I'll buy one of those things where you just have to push, like pull a button, and I will mop it up after, but I get to sleep in, right? So independence is big with us, and we spend all this time trying to get children to be self-reliant, and if we're not careful, excuse me, we teach them that that is the pinnacle of adulthood. That adulthood is being able to take care of yourself. That's the minimum. That is literally the minimum. Because you see, an adult knows that we take care of others. God's not just going around going, well, I can take care of myself. Jesus didn't walk around saying, well, I'll just take care of myself. No, the God-given understanding of what it looks like to be a human being through the person of Jesus Christ is that I take care of other people, even to the point of sacrifice. It's the images that we see when we think about the goodness we find in our mothers and our parents and our friends and all of the people around us. When we're watching a movie and it moves our hearts, when we see something go on in the world and someone gives of themselves so that they might help someone else and it moves us to tears, it is because that image of God is coming through, and we know that taking care of ourselves is the minimum, and that taking care of everyone else around us is who God calls us to be. Now, the beauty of this is that, like with our parents, hopefully, we get to walk through this together. So we're going to look in verse 15. We're going to jump to that one real quick, and we'll put it back on the screen if we have just a second. Thank you, Miss Jessica. I don't call you servants any longer, because servants don't know what their master is doing. We're going to pause right there for a second. I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what their master is doing. Now, I'm going to speak this one a little bit like my mama, because I needed it most of the time. You know what you're supposed to be doing, right? I call you friend. I call you equal. I call you someone who has been brought in to what we are doing in this world, and I have told you what to do. I have shown you what to do. I have given you the instructions. I have sent you to do it, and now I'm going to leave, and it's your turn. You know what you ought to be doing. You said it before. You know who you are and whose you are. You know what you are supposed to be doing. Now, as a son, we don't always choose that route. Right? They told me often the wisdom of what I shouldn't be doing, but I always had to know for myself. Right? I had to find out for myself. And Jesus is giving them this opportunity, but now they are going to carry it on. Moving on to the second half, of verse 15. Instead, I call you friends, because everything I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. We're going to pause right there. You know, we have all kinds of understandings in this huge picture of who God is, as we understand God, the Almighty Creator, and Jesus, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, the Sustainer. We have this huge understanding, and so sometimes we come at it from different angles and perspectives, and here in this set of scriptures, Jesus is highlighting this part that is kind of unique to who Jesus is, that I am your friend. I am calling you to be my friend. I shared this past week with some people, and I've shared it with you before, but when Beckett was starting in one of the grade schools, he came home from the first day of school, and we said, Beckett, did you make any friends at school today? And he said, yeah, a lot. And we were like, oh, that's awesome. He's like, what are their names? He's like, I don't know. We were like, well, did you talk to them? He was like, well, yeah, like they'd let us talk a little bit. It was the two around us. I was like, so which ones did you make friends with? And he was like, all of them. And we were like, what do you mean you made friends with all of them? And he said, well, they just don't know it yet, but I'm their friend. Right? And from the mouth of babes, the gospel comes through. They don't know it yet, but we're already their friends. God, Jesus, is calling us into that kind of relationship. And everything that Jesus has heard from the Father, he has made known to us. We think about the ways that we live with obedience and respect and mutual love in our relationships. I think about God, you know, what if you called your mom and said, hey, mom, I just want to come over and hang out with you. How would that make her feel? Wonderful. Yeah, you're like, you're elbowing your kid right now. You just texted him. You should come hang out. You should have wanted to come hang out. That's what you're going to say. Yeah. The pastor said you should have done it. I imagine us being in that kind of relationship with God, with Jesus, that we want to be together because we enjoy being together, not because we're afraid of hell, Not because we're afraid of punishment, not because we constantly mess things up and we need to be redeemed and forgiven. You see, that's not the kind of relationship that Jesus is calling us into. Now, is that a part of it? Absolutely. But it's secondary. It's a symptom of, it's a causality. This is the real deal. Jesus is calling us into actual one-on-one relationship with him, the way that we are friends, the way that we enjoy being together, the way that we want to be a part of what each other is doing. We want to be a part of what Jesus is doing in this world. And hear this morning, Jesus wants to be a part of what's going on in our lives and what we're doing. I don't think it's a one-way street. Get on board or we're going to leave you behind. I think Jesus is calling out to us and saying, I'm happy to show you everything that God has taught me to give to you, and we're going to figure out how to do it together. But I want you to be a part of my life. Not somebody who knows all my words. Not somebody who memorizes it. Not somebody who begrudgingly does a few of the things I say, but really only the selective ones that we like. But somebody who is a part of my life, and I want to come and be a part of yours. Now, I love this in verse 16. Let's throw verse 16 up there. Thank you, Dr. Morris. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit so that your fruit could last. Look at the very first part, those first two lines as they show on the screen right there. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. And that's powerful. I think it's easy to gloss over. You may not have chosen me, but I chose you. It sounds like a conversation with a difficult teenager, if I'm being honest. In this moment, you may not choose me. And in the back of the brains, we might even think, and I'm not sure I'm choosing you. But we know that's not true. We know the heart of it. And I chose you. Even for moments like this, and if we're going to be honest, especially for moments like this, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit could last. I think sometimes we as parents too forget that last part, that we appointed them to go. Sometimes we just want to hold on with nostalgia. But we know they got to go at some point. Jesus, too, loves and nurtures his children, us. In the same way that we talk about with a tree and a garden and all of the metaphors that were given in Scripture to explain our relationship with God, we're also given this one that sounds like a motherly love here on Mother's Day, this idea of nurturing, of loving, of being a part of inspiring, of holding accountable and doing what is necessary. But at the heart of it, I have chosen you, whether you choose me or not. And within this, there's also that we didn't just stumble into this church, that we didn't just stumble into faith. We were called. We were appointed. We were wanted. We are chosen. And not in a way that is exclusive of others, that we are the chosen ones. No, in a way that says that you were created on purpose and you are loved. And you are supposed to be a part of the life of faith, the life of this world, a life in your family, your friends, your community. You are called and sent and appointed to go and to do and to bear fruit and to live in relationship with Jesus, with God, with each other, and with all of creation. It's like the potential that mothers can see in us, even when we're snotty-nosed little dirtbag petri dishes. Right? You've been that. We've all been that. They can see it. They can see the diamond in the rough. And sometimes they're wrong and we don't turn out so great. But it was still there to begin with. And that's the way that God looks at us. Fruit like love and joy and peace and patience and faith. characteristics that make this world a better place, characteristics that are like seeds that are planted in our souls, the divine image of God that is within us, the love and nurturing that a good parent has for their children that set them on a path of knowing what love really looks like in this world. In verse 17, it says, I give you these commandments so that you can love each other. If I were summarizing this, I would say, all of this I give to you so that you can love, period, end of sentence. Some of the deepest characteristics of who God is, I believe we see in good mothers, mothers of all kinds. And I don't just mean ones who have children. I mean ones who are spiritual moms, one who are good to us no matter where we may be, the ones who look after us and take care of us and care for us and want the best for us and who take care of this world, right? Who take care of our cities and our nations and our countries and our homes and all of it. Some of the deepest characteristics of God we see in these wonderful people. We see it in the sleepless nights. Anybody got some sleepless nights? Can I get an amen back there, Newberts? Yeah, absolutely. It's how they torture people at Guantanamo Bay. And all of our young parents are walking through that. We see it in those moments of bandaging knees and kissing boo-boos. Gross. We see it when we wipe snotty noses. We see it when they offer the wisdom that only a mother can. We see it in the moments when we returned late and they wanted to scream at us, but they didn't. And they let us find out for ourselves that it might not have been a good idea. In the moments when we needed to hear about it, and we did, we see parents and people all over hurting their broods, giving life to others without thought for themselves. We see them even willing to give up their dreams so that others might realize theirs. There are few greater images of God. You see, part of our mission of loving God, loving people, and making this world a better place is nurturing faith and love like a mother. So my question for us is, how can you encourage someone this week? How can you help nurture them? How can you care for them? What does it look like to be a presence in their life that, like our God, wants what's best for them, is willing to work on their behalf without thought of ourselves, and to help even their dreams come true? We find out today in this friendship with Jesus that there is a special bond, and that Jesus has strength like a mother. There's very little things as strong as that on this earth. Y'all laughed about my grandma's joke earlier, and I want you to know she'd have met you in the yard and jerked you up like one of those yard birds for dinner. And then she'd have taken you out for ice cream and shown you what love looks like. And may we be those types of godly people in the lives of all people around us. Not because they look like us or agree with us or vote like us or whatever it is, but just because they are already our brothers and sisters. They are already friends with us, whether they know it or not, because we are friends of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for you, that you call us to account, that you hold us to the flames of who you would have us to be. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would continue to mold us and make us into the people that you would have us to be. Lord, we are so grateful for the people in our lives, whether they were mothers or not, who have been your presence, who have been your strength, who have been there for us in that way, the way that you molded their hearts to be. Now make us those people for others. Lord, we are grateful for this church. We are grateful for your mission that you have called us all to. And we ask you to continue to pour out your Spirit upon us and upon this place as we seek to love you, to love others, and to make this world a better place. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.